Good evening, Patriots. It is a Tuesday. I have to look at the calendar anymore. I swear, I can't even keep track of these days. It's nuts. Tuesday, it feels like it's Monday. It feels like it's Sunday. It feels like it's Saturday. It feels like it's the last week. It feels like it's the next week. Time is literally moving faster. And I swear it's not just a perception because it literally feels, it's the weirdest things. It's like on one hand, you've got time that moves slow at some points. I'll give you a great example. I can literally get up in the morning at 4:55 and I can have a show. And I honestly don't even know how this works. And I'm serious. That's 5 minutes. I can get up, make the bed, make coffee, grab a bottle of water, start up the computer, sit down at the desk, grab a scripture or two that I need, and be ready no more than 3 minutes after the hour. So that's 8 minutes. Now, I'm efficient, but there's a little bizarreness to that. Just because it just is amazing amount of how much you get done in that amount of span of time. And of course, if you're just out here listening, you're like, oh, dude, come on, we're making stuff up. All right. Then there's the piece of getting up in the morning and every single day you're working and you're packed in every second of the day, which I am. You're sleeping about 4 hours a day, which I am. And then you end up all of a sudden looking around and it's like your to-do list, which should have gotten done in a day, is 2 days in and the days are flying by and you're like, what just happened to my week? That's where we are. But we are not to worry. Hey, by the way, don't forget to get over to MyPillow, MyPillow.com, and you've got a promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S. And you can get over there and you can support MyPillow and Mike Lindell and his great company. And you can get a chance to get some My Slippers, which you're going to need for the 27th of August, which is the Slipper Revolution Day. So get on over there, use the BARDS code B-A-R-D-S, MyPillow.com. Great savings with your BARDS code. And if you want to talk to a real person, give them a call at 800-975-2939, 800-975-2939, and you will be happy you did. Remember to tell them that you heard about this on the best and finest podcast on the entire globe, BARDS FM. Tell them to start listening to it too. It would be good for them because we love them and we love God. That's just that simple. Let me begin with Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade in your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. It is truly a fairly easy place to hold once we get that clear in our head, in our belief, in all of our body, in all of our soul, that as long as we are pushing into God and trusting in God, all things are taken care of. That simple concept is going to become so important in the coming weeks and months. Our country right now is in a civil war. It doesn't look like it in the traditional sense because you don't have gray and blue trying to kill each other. Or I guess it was brown and gray, whatever it was. You don't have battlefields with bodies laying out all over. And the hardest part for people to get their head around is the fact that we are at a war with an evil that has literally managed to infect itself into almost every layer of society. And for many, that's just an idea that they don't want to process, can't process, unwilling to process. I don't know. And in hearing that, there's people that repel with that. They're like, this is nonsense. This is just, you guys are unhappy with the current election status. Well, we can't exactly be happy about it, considering that it was a complete bunk and fraudulent election. It was a coup being engineered by about 20 million people in this country out of the 330. But honestly, those people are minimal concerns when you take, and they're not that they're not dangerous, but the biggest threat we face right now, as we know, and I'm going to argue, is not even the injection. So buckle up, Patriots. Here we go. It isn't, the injection is an outcome of something much deeper and much more rancid and much more broken in our society. The willingness to walk in and get an injection, the willingness to comply to tyranny, a willingness to say yes to the ideas that were against everything our founding fathers stood for. Just to accept it and move on. The idea that government is to be trusted and defiance to government is considered treasonous. That's where we are right now, which is exactly the inverse of how this country started. All of that is resting on a single idea, a single fail point in our society, and that's that God is no longer in the center of our homes and in our daily life. You know, the one question I have, I ask people, and when we talk about preps or when you want to anchor your home and secure your home, the first thing on every prepper's list that should be there that's not there, I will promise you, if you go through the internet and you read a prep list, there's going to be one item missing everywhere, and it's always a Bible. Now, why is that? And I say this because these are the people that are talking about saving the world by living off of canned tuna fish and black beans in a can, living in a bunker for like 17 years. And then when they surface, they're all pale and white and fat on fish and beans and canned bacon, whatever else they do. I mean, I'm being a little bit sarcastic, but I mean, come on, like, where is the first thing on your list? It should be the Bible. We think so much in the physical world. We really do. And all of us at one point or another fall trap and victim to this. Right now, we're dealing with what is essentially a war that's unwinnable unless you accept God. You cannot fight principalities beyond our control and beyond our reach with guns and knives and human bear traps or whatever else you've come up with. Claymore mines and rocket launchers. I mean, it's just not going to work. And the idea of this entire fight is to provoke us to kill one another. That's what the deep state wants. They want neighbor to neighbor to start, like, literally in the streets, like, stabbing each other and something out of a horror film. Batman did that one. It was really interesting too, because Batman, kind of another one of these prelude indicators of where they were going. If you remember, they put in some, I don't remember what Batman it was. They put in some drug in the water system and everybody went crazy and they started killing each other and total chaos in the streets. And then at the same time, they had some frequency generator that it was the frequency generator that caused the water thing to activate, to put the poison into the air, to kill people. It's always that sort of stuff. So Hollywood, once again, is used as a tool to kind of get people's mind in the right place to accept the crazy as normal. That's the goals of this deep state, is to constantly sow chaos. Because this deep state is a colloquialism that we use that isn't even fair. Because at the end of this, whether people like to digest this or not, you know how I am. I'll just tell you. I mean, it's... these are Luciferian whores. Let's be clear. These are people that have sold their soul to the darkest elements in the universe. And they are willing to do anything to regain that power and anything they can do to destroy God's children. So coming up this, I think it's this week. In fact, I can't remember if they do it live or if they do it later. But anyway, I'm recording with a group, and Thursday I'm doing a recording interview, part of their program, with the vax people and the anti-vax people in Canada. Great group. And they invited me to come over, and it was a real honor. And I talked to them a little bit today. And, you know, we get into these places of perception and the willingness, again, on both sides of the country, both sides of the border, just to accept this, willfully accept this shot without thinking. And the people that are engineering this, and the comment was made, well, they're not, anybody that can do this can't be human. So I would argue it this way. When you understand the Luciferian ritual process, you understand that one of the things that they do when the children are young is they believe that having empathy is a weakness. That's part of the line of Abel. Now, again, keep in mind that what I'm talking about is their belief, and it's important to understand their belief to understand the enemy. They believe their bloodline goes back to Cain, and part of the reason they believe that is they believe that the jump that happens is that they continue the bloodline, not through the human line, but they believe that the bloodline is continued through the fallen, so that the fallen are still around. Okay, just giving you kind of a glimpse at the Luciferian nut jobs that are out here. And so in this piece, they believe that Cain represents weakness. And so anything that represents empathy or love, they see as weakness. So what part of what they do in children is they torture them and abuse them. That's a ritual issue that they go through when they're young. Children are broken. Now that leads to the programming that we call MKUltra, which was originally mastered by the Jesuits. But it's the whole process of breaking people's mind into alterns so they become easily programmable. But the biggest part of this is to ruin what they consider burning out the neural pathways that will give people empathy. So when someone says that you can't be human and do the sorts of things that we're witnessing, like deliver an injection that is intentionally trying to destroy people's DNA, sterilize youth, sterilize adults, leave people with damage to their hearts, cause permutation in the blood-brain barrier, leading to early set on of things like Alzheimer's and other memory loss problems, blindness. The latest one tonight was there's over 19,000 cases now reported in Europe of blindness. They're out here to destroy humanity and leave humanity hobbled in such a way that they can't even function. And the reason we can say, honestly, regardless of whether we are dealing with lizard heads or not, I have no idea. But I mean, in truth, what we are dealing with are people that have had their empathy, their entire neurocircuitry burned out of their brain through the torture and abuse that they went through when they were young, and then the rebuilding of them. So in a sense, they're not human. If you take away empathy out of the human experience, I can't say that you're a human anymore. That's one of the key aspects that we have, is we have empathy for one another. And I think that's one of our, also why they do it, is it's one of our greatest strengths. In this crazy time, we have to get back to the principles of really appreciating what it is to say that God has us. God is our keeper. And it's not just bywords. It's not just things we say in prayer. It's like, God, please help me, blah, blah, blah. It's literally, God is our keeper. We are part of him. And when we can truly embrace that place of being part of him, there's nothing out here that can touch us. It does not matter. doesn't say it isn't going to feel a little uncomfortable at some times. Doesn't mean you're not going to like everything, because you probably won't. But if you're listening to God and you're following that path, God is going to place you where he needs you, trusting in you. As you trust in him, he is trusting in you. Don't forget that piece, because that's an important component in the relationship that we build to God through Christ, is that there is a trust in you as much as God, as we trust in him. And it's a beautiful relationship. God, we always say, well, God gives us more, as much as we can handle, sometimes more than we think we can handle. I would argue God gives us more than we can handle. And he does it intentionally, because he knows that we will rise to the occasion. But in the process, we will learn a great deal more about the true strength than we know we have. And that is a process of learning stewardship on what the gifts you're given. You're suddenly overwhelmed with something. And in that overwhelming moment, then you have to manage your gifts differently and better to be more effective for God in this fight. Our duty, and I'm using that word a lot lately, because it is not just an option. It's not, and I tell you where it's the strongest, and it is in the Declaration of Independence, but it transitions over to our responsibility to God. So let me read a couple of sentences here. I'm going to read this paragraph here in Declaration of Independence. I read it in the last show, but it's really important to grasp what's being said here. And the key word, when you hear it, it'll stand out, is duty. All right. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, I want to stop right there and just make a comment. Unalienable rights from the Creator means from God, and it means no petty tyrant can ever take them away. It means you're given those for the rest forever. That's your that's given to you. Okay? So we continue. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Stop. Right there. Important. The power of government comes from we, the people, not from anybody else. It doesn't say the power of government comes from God, because keep in mind that in the past, kings said they claimed that they were ascendants from God, and so claimed to take their power from God, not in this form of government that we're in. The rulers in our country take the power from the people, and we, the people, are connected to God. They're properly placed in the pecking order. Continuing, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, meaning that it is taking away, it's no longer being accountable to the people, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute a new government, laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect the safety and their safety and happiness. I don't believe there's another country in the entire world that has a founding document that gives its citizens the right to overthrow the government if it becomes unruly and unjust and takes its position above the people and between the people and God. We are there now, by the way, patriots. I just want to be very clear. We are talking about the current state of governance in this nation, which is a flat-out tyranny. Okay? Continuing. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. Stop. What that means is you don't want to get in the habit of overthrowing a government just for the sake of doing it, like Antifa would like to do. This is a very serious matter that has to be considered very carefully, and it will take time, which leads to the next comment. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind is more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. So in other words, it's easier to suffer and keep doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. By definition, that's insanity, than to take the bold action to stand up and to literally take your rights, your inalienable rights back, which were given to God. this is such an important discussion here because it places in framework a true, what I see as a true march of a disciple of Christ. You're not sitting here being a pew marshmallow. You're being temperate. You're enduring things. But when that time comes, you have to make a decision, a wise decision, at when that tipping point occurs, that the things become unsufferable, and you then take the decision to take the country back or replace the government with a new form of governance, which hopefully will return back to the Constitution, which is based on the will of the people and not the will of government over the people. Now, continuing, but when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object and vices are designed to reduce them under absolute despotism. We're there. So I know 500 patriots being held in federal prison, many of them being abused right now for being participant in January 6th. Kamala Harris telling her people to go out and door knock on those that have not taken the injection to harass them to get the injection, which, by the way, that means that they have received the data of those who took the injection and who did not, which means they violated this current administration has violated HIPAA. But that's okay. It doesn't matter. They don't care about rules anyway. Continuing, it is their right, meaning the people. Now here, I'm going to read this sentence again because this is so important. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object and vices a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, listen carefully, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for the future security. All right. We are the only country I know of in the history of man that whose founding fathers installed a document in its foundation, the foundational creation, its creational documents, that not only gave the citizens of the nation in this future nation the right to overthrow a tyrannical government, but the duty. That means there's absolutely, if you're an American, a true American, you're violating the principle of your citizenship and, according to how our relationship in this country was built by the Declaration of Independence, the references to unalienable rights establishes a higher order in this government of moral law. It means that all people are accountable to God first, and then the government is accountable to the people. So government does not get to usurp the government or God, and the people are always above the government. So it is a direct line from the people through Christ to the Father, and government is underneath everybody. And it is our duty to ensure that that group of people that is under the people never rises up above the people. And if they do, it is our duty, stressing that word again, to throw off such government, get rid of it, and to provide new guards for the future security. In other words, cleanse the dirt bags and reinstall people that are loyal to God first and people second and God and the nation third, or governance third. God, people, country. This is where we are. And in this point where we have a government that is completely out of control, and we have some major challenges before us, because part of this challenge, like we've said, is this whole drifting people that have no relationship to God. And the irony and sadness at the same time of all of this is that this is a nation, probably the only nation in history, who established its order of rule and control and rule of law and accountability based on everybody being accountable to God. Phenomenal. So what are these people doing out here meandering around and not having God in their lives? The irony of this whole statement is everything in our government that does not include God is a violation of the very foundational documents that were created. And even more challenging is the fact that the left has done everything it can to separate the Declaration of Independence from the Constitution, saying that it is not actually part of the founding documents of the United States because it was approved before the country was assembled. That's pure garbage, because this document was approved by the Continental Congress, which was the authority of the time representing all the colonies, which became the states. We do not have any government in place. I don't know what kabuki theater we're watching, but we're starting to get an indication that this show has been going on for some time, and whether for the white hats or for the black hats, I don't know, but I will tell you this. We're getting indications now that we've been seeing a show most of the time. Federal buildings are empty. Gretchen, whatever her name is from Michigan, hasn't been in her office. I'm arguing that most of these people haven't been in their office for a long time. And so we've been watching a show probably a lot longer than we realize. In fact, there's a book, Tribes on the Hill, that was written in the 70s by a guy who was an anthropologist that followed the family tree and bloodlines. And what he discovered was that every time that the media and the people got closer to the truth, Congress would set up another panel, would set up another media show, and move the truth farther and farther away. Well, you can't keep moving the truth. You can't keep moving the truth farther and farther away in the same building. Somewhere along the way, you're going to have to escape to Oz, and they probably have. So where is all this going tonight? Because we've kind of hit on a couple key pieces. First and foremost, God is our keeper, and it's through Christ to the Father. And as long as we hold to that true path, that is the path we walk and the path we hang on to. And none of this other nonsense makes any difference. Literally, the world could fall off a cliff and we could be standing on the edge and watching it fall. And we would all sit there and go, praise the Lord, and we'd be okay. Secondly, there is a group of drifters out here that have either don't know of, have not had a good experience with, or have rejected God. Now, that's something each of us has to discern, but it is our responsibility as Lord, as children of God, to go out and to engage them, to try to awaken them to come home. And the third part about that is, as we are moving forward here and we read all this nonsense and excuses and this kabuki theater that continues on trying to tell us what they're doing, the entire problem that exists in this nation, and the reason that we have drifters walking over there, lost in their relationship with God, the reason that we have a government that got so spun out of control that he thought it was a good idea to try to exterminate its own people by issuing a bioweapon called the COVID shot, the only reason that has occurred, all these things center back to one singular principle. They took God out of the lives of Americans. And when people will understand that key thing, that one issue, that the words "In God We Trust" are not some stupid tagline on a piece of money that represents Babylonian money magic, but are real words, "In God We Trust," that need to become part of the dialogue, the breath, the step, the very existence of every single American once again, centered on every single home, household, family again. When we bring God back to that place in our lives, this nation will reset in the most amazing way and faster than you can possibly imagine. And all of those that have taken the injection, all of those that are wandering that come back to him, patriots, they're going to be healed. How that healing looks, I have no idea. I don't know if it's spiritual, physical, or both. But I will guarantee you that at least it will be spiritual, and at least then we know that they are going to be able to come home with God. But there may be a pretty much of a physical trial in that they may have to endure because, yep, they made a stupid decision. It was a decision to put fear or personal objectives ahead of God, and there's a cost for that. I don't know what God's toll on that bridge is, but I'm going to tell you there is a toll on all things like that. That's just life. That's the accountability part of faith. But our mission, our primary mission has to be, and everything that we do, it has to be with strength, and it has to be walking forward, and it has to be putting God back at the center point of this nation, at the center point of every home. Man, if we were able to like magically, let's go poof, like a Bible in every home and a prayer in every home, this earth would probably, it'd probably flip on its axis. It wouldn't know what to do. It'd be like everybody would be hanging upside down, like, you know, like a swing gone crazy. That is where we have to be. And when we take that position, the honor that we give God is beyond any measure. And what a fulfilling walk to take in life. To be able to say that I fought this fight. I fought it in the greatest way possible. And of course, there'll be those that'll say, well, tell us your stories. And you can start by saying, I began on my knees and I prayed. And then I rose each day fearlessly. And I walked into my community and I fought this fight one person at a time. And one person at a time, I opened their hearts to Christ, one person at a time. I went to those that were wandering, those that had even been entrapped by the darkness, who had made the wrong choice and had been deceived, thinking that they were on the path to salvation when in fact they were on the path to desolation. And I engaged them. And I shared with them the love of Christ. And I let God speak through me. And I trusted in God to deliver the words I needed. Sometimes I carried a Bible, sometimes I didn't, but I always knew that the Lord had me because the Lord was my keeper. And when I gave him that trust, I fought this fight. I fought this fight in the most heroic way possible because each day I saved somebody's life. I brought them home. And in bringing them home, I honored God above all things. I did this without fear. I did this with conviction. I did this through prayer. I did this on the rock of faith. And above all, I did this with the absolute love and trust in God, always knowing that through Christ, I had that relationship to Father. That, patriots, is the story that I hope every one of us can tell. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are blessed with all that you bring. We are blessed with the clarity you provide when we simply listen. Lord, in this time, please guide us and help us to see those opportunities, the small spaces to enter, the small opportunities to engage. It's the one person at a time. To convert them back to the path of light, to awaken them from the slumber in which they are stuck in and sleeping in, to shake off the scales on their eyes, to crack open the hardness around their heart, and to let them return to you to feel healed with the love that only you can provide. Lord, guide us in these times. And we put ourselves on our knees before you and we pray for the healing of this nation, the forgiveness of the sins of this nation. And then we stand and we say, send me, Lord, send us, Lord, to be those disciples in Christ, to walk boldly in this walk, fearlessly in this walk, knowing that it may cost us everything that we know in this world, but that it doesn't matter. Because in the end, we've already won this fight through the sacrifice of your Son, and we are so humbly blessed by that unbelievable gift and suffering that was done to get that gift for us to have life ever after. So, Lord, please guide us in these times so that we can be that and be that powerful, to be that convicted, to be those true disciples in Christ that will be relentless. Will be never-endingly pushing into this enemy to crack open their shield wall and to literally walk through with the flash and brilliance of the light that only you can deliver. Let us crush that darkness and set the many free. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' holy name. Amen. A lot ahead. A lot of daily work, a lot of daily grind. But we have to do it. And we do it because it's our duty. It's not just our responsibility. It's our duty. It's not just our right. It's our duty. And in doing so, in doing this fight, by putting the Lord before all things, we will crush this enemy. And it doesn't matter about the government, because it will, in the end, we will rebuild it. But we will rebuild it on the right foundation, which is God first, moral law, and accountability to God in all things. And when we do that, we will truly begin to reset the direction of this nation. Sadly, if you listen around right now and walk or listen around, even the Patriot movement, you're going to find a diminishing number of voices that can stand that firm on Christ and God. And it's saddening. But we need to get that foundation under everybody. This isn't just an election with a corrupted voting machine or 2 or 3 or 50 or 100. Or 1,000. This is a fight to reinstate the principal kernel that holds this entire nation together. It is a fight of good versus evil. This is a fight versus light versus dark. This is a fight about whether this country will be rebuilt on the foundation of God, trust in God, and a love of Christ Jesus, or whether this country will fall into the abyss of the easy gate and the road to destruction. Our role has never been more important. Our focus can never be wavering, and our mission has never been more true and pure. Follow the North Star through the night, and you shall find what you need by morning. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil, never relent. Always press into this fight. Prayers are where we begin this fight. Trust in God is how we win this fight. And the knowledge that we are with God in God's ultimate victory. Because He is always with us, He will never forsake us, and He will always win. Have a very blessed night. I'll see you tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. Until then, or until the next time. God bless. Good night. Thank you. And out for now.
sun sets down over the hill where the lost God found. Reaching through somehow, oh, you're an island when the world is too loud. When the seasons change, I know the space between us will stay the same. Resting on this faith, when your soul answers calls far away. Safe place to hide from the rain.